Hi, I'm Ben Rizzuto, wealth strategist at Janus Henderson Investors. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
UK Prime Minister Liz Truss is out after just 6 weeks.
We're on to our third Prime Minister in 2 months. And this is not a nation which changes Prime Ministers easily. Normally, the system is weighted so that that doesn't happen very often. So this is really a very big period of instability here.
And US home sales keep falling as mortgage rates climb higher. Plus, losing your sense of time? How you can get back in sync. It's Thursday, October 20th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Sales of existing U.S. homes fell 1.5% in September, marking an eighth straight month of declines. The National Association of Realtors says sales declined to a seasonally adjusted rate of 4.71 million. Existing home sales are also down considerably from January, about 27%. As the Federal Reserve has raised interest rates to tame inflation, borrowing costs have gone up, driving many would-be homebuyers out of the market. Freddie Mac reported today that the average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage reached 6.94% this week. That's up from around 3% a year ago. COVID-19 vaccines should be added to a list of regular immunizations like measles and tetanus shots. That's the recommendation vaccine experts have made to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which usually follows its advisor's guidance. The CDC publishes its updated immunization list in February. Adding COVID-19 shots wouldn't mean the CDC requires them, but that the agency is advising people to get them as a regular part of vaccinations against long-running infectious diseases. Investment firm Blackstone reported net income of $2.3 million, or less than 1 cent a share, in the third quarter. That's compared with a profit of $1.4 billion, or nearly $2 a share, during the same period last year. Blackstone attributed the results to a decline in the value of its private equity portfolio. Last week, Blackstone announced a partnership with Resolution Life, which it says could add as much as $25 billion to its assets under management in the first year. And Hans Moak Niemann, the teenage chess grandmaster accused of cheating, is suing some of his accusers. The 19-year-old American is seeking damages of $100 million against world champion Magnus Carlsen, grandmaster Hikaru Nakamura, and the website chess.com for what the federal lawsuit calls colluding to blacklist him from the chess world and making defamatory statements accusing him of cheating. Niemann's lawyers accuse the defendants of destroying their client's life. Our sports reporter Andrew Beaton says it all amounts to a pretty big deal for competitive chess.
This is an absolutely explosive scandal because on the one hand, you have Magnus Carlsen, who is arguably the best chess player ever. He's the five-time world champion, bringing fairly serious cheating allegations against an up-and-coming rising American grandmaster, Hans Moak Niemann. And there are questions not just about Niemann, but also it's raised even bigger questions about just how pervasive cheating is in the game of chess. Is this something that is rampant? Is this something that is true? What is exactly happening here? And I think we're all trying to get to the bottom of it.
Carlsen and Nakamura didn't immediately provide comment. Lawyers for chess.com said Niemann's allegations are meritless and that the company is saddened by his decision to sue because it hurts the game of chess. Coming up, Liz Truss's turbulent stretch as prime minister comes to an end. What happens next? We'll explain after the break.
Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of brighter futures for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
After a short and tumultuous time in office, UK Prime Minister Liz Truss announced her resignation Thursday.
Given the situation, I cannot deliver the mandate on which I was elected by the Conservative Party. I have therefore spoken to His Majesty the King to notify him that I am resigning as leader of the Conservative Party.
Truss had been under increasing pressure to step down after her tax cut plan roiled markets. But despite walking that plan back, she couldn't maintain her party's backing. Truss's ouster comes after just 6 weeks. She's now the shortest-serving prime minister in British history and the third Conservative Party leader pushed out in as many years. Joining me now from outside at the House of Commons is Wall Street Journal UK correspondent Max Colchester. Hi, Max. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, nice to be with you.
So, Max, we know that Liz Truss was struggling to hang on to her post even after she had rolled back much of her tax plan. What happened here? What ultimately led to her decision to resign today? What made her continuing as prime minister untenable?
Essentially, she lost control of her Conservative Party. There was essentially open rebellion against her staying as prime minister, and she had no more authority over her lawmakers, many of whom were openly talking about how best to oust her and were refusing to vote on matters in the way that the government wanted them to. So in the end, Conservative Party elders felt they had no choice but to go and ask Ms. Truss to step down. And this really came to a head on Wednesday night when lawmakers were seen jeering at Ms. Truss in Parliament, and they refused to back a government motion to allow fracking, something which is currently not allowed in the UK. And there were very ugly scenes with lawmakers seen to be shoved by loyalists to Ms. Truss in the voting booths in Parliament. And it all got very, very ugly. And it created a real sense of disquiet in the party that things had got this bad. And that, frankly, you know, they had no chance of winning an election with Ms. Truss as leader. And there, frankly, seemed to be very little advantage in keeping her in post any longer.
Max, of course, the UK has been going through political turmoil for some time now. Truss's resignation comes after Boris Johnson was forced out following a series of scandals. What does this mean for their Conservative Party and for UK politics more broadly right now?
Yes, I mean, these are really incredible times in the UK. We're on to our third prime minister in 2 months. And this is not a nation which changes prime ministers easily. Normally, the system is weighted so that that doesn't happen very often. So this is really a very big period of instability here. And I think it really is symptomatic of a wider problem within the Conservative Party, which is deeply ideologically divided on societal issues and economic issues. And now they've got this challenge, which is to try and find a unity candidate within their ranks who can try and patch up some of these differences, build a credible economic platform, and try not to perform too poorly come an election in 2024.
Yeah, so tell us more about the process for determining Truss's successor. What is going to be going on the next couple of days? And what about that push to hold elections?
Well, I think at the moment we haven't got the full details as to how the voting process will work, but broadly what we'll see is it's going to last exactly a week. So by Friday next week, we will know who the next prime minister will be. And we're going to see a series of ballots by lawmakers here in the Conservative Party as they whittle down an array of choices, probably down to a final two, who may or may not then be voted online by 170,000 odd members of the Conservative Party. But as I say, that's still being worked out.
And who are some of the potential successors here?
The favorite is Rishi Sunak, who's the former Chancellor of the Exchequer here, who actually campaigned against Ms. Truss to be Prime Minister over the summer. And his platform really was based on saying that Ms. Truss's economic policies were deeply dangerous and would cause market panic. So in a way, he's been proved right by what happened, and is therefore expected to be seen as the natural successor to come in and try and fix the mess that she created. Another favorite is Boris Johnson, the former prime minister, who is said to be considering going for the top job, which would really be an astounding comeback if he did end up back in Downing Street. But again, you know, he was kicked out under a cloud only a few months ago when, I don't know if you'll probably remember, there was a massive rebellion in the party with 60 or so members of his own government quitting to force him to leave. So it's unsure whether they'll actually coalesce behind him again this time round. And then there is the more dark horse candidate, who's Penny Mordaunt, who's a cabinet minister, who's seen as a sort of solid performer and more of a neutral candidate within the party, and perhaps more likely to be able to appeal to the differing wings of the Tory party.
And as you just said, we did see Truss's tax plan, which she had rolled back before her resignation, shake up markets. What has the resignation meant for stock and bond markets, and what's the expectation as this is sorted out over the next couple of days?
Well, stock and bond markets have largely stabilized since Ms. Truss junked her economic plan. I think it was widely considered that the moment she did that, she was really a zombie prime minister and would probably be replaced at some point. So I think her departure in many ways was priced in. So we've seen that stabilize. But still, I mean, the situation in the UK is not good. The country is heading towards a recession. There's inflation at 10.1% at the moment. Whoever gets this job will face a very tricky task of pushing through, frankly, very difficult public spending cuts to try and stabilize the government and regain the trust of markets. So it's going to be the legacy of her cuts, or her planned cuts, tax cuts, will live on.
That's Wall Street Journal correspondent Max Colchester joining me from London. We have full coverage of Liz Truss's resignation at WSJ.com. And finally, it's been an unstable time in British politics, but our concept of time has also been a bit, well, wobbly. If you felt as though time's been collapsing or expanding, you're not alone. Psychologists call this temporal disintegration, when the present moment seems disconnected from the time that's on your clock, watch, or screen. This disconnection from past, present, and future plays a role in how people process traumatic events. And research from the University of California, Irvine, shows that Americans are likely to have experienced this during the pandemic. Wall Street Journal numbers columnist Josh Zumbrun says psychologists have some treatment ideas for how to get resynchronized.
Just do things that reestablish a routine. A lot of what made the pandemic so kind of difficult, disorienting, the reason people had this temporal disintegration, is because a lot of people lost their sense of routine, where they had, like, you know, they had commutes and they had jobs and they came home and then they had weekends, and like there was a very distinct rhythm to your life. And that really helps people kind of get through and process their lives. And when you lose that, it can be very important to find new ways to reestablish it.
And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
Technology can make the world better. At UST, we're building a future where people everywhere are empowered to live better lives.
It's transformation you can feel.
And you don't have to do it alone.
We believe in the power of technology to transform businesses and build a better world.